Let me first and foremost express my gratitude and just let me tell you how thankful I am for the entire Estes congregation. Rachel and I have just been overwhelmed with all of the love and the support in just our first month or two being here. We were saying just this past week really how happy we felt here. And we, even though we've only been here a month, we feel like this is home. We feel like this is where we belong, and we're very excited to be here. So thank you all so much for that. I can't tell you how many people have opened up their homes to us, whether that be for a meal or in that transition period where we needed a place to stay, opening up a place for us to stay, whether we needed to stay for an extended amount of time or not. We appreciate that very, very much. And oddly enough, that's what we're going to be talking about this evening. For the past several, weeks now, we've been looking at the marks of a Christian, the marks of a transformed life. That's our theme this year, to be transformed, to not be conformed to the image of the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And as we've looked at these marks of a Christian, we're all the way down now to the end of verse 13 of Romans chapter 12, where we read in the New American Standard Version, just two simple words that make up a phrase that I think is extremely powerful, and we're going to be looking at this phrase this evening, practicing hospitality. Now, when I saw that this was going to be the mark of a Christian that I was going to be looking at, I was immediately humbled. And I was humbled because, especially the last several months, I've been someone who has received the benefits of others being hospitable probably more than I've been hospitable myself. And that goes along with, I think, our move. And as I've already said, many of you opening up your homes to me and to Rachel. So I'm very humbled in looking at this topic tonight. But when you think about hospitality and someone who is hospitable, what exactly comes to your mind? What are some things that you think about when you think about a person who's hospitable? Any thoughts?
Kind.
You're kind, right? You certainly got to be kind to open up your home to somebody. I think, really, we don't need to spend a whole lot of time talking about what it means to be hospitable. As I've already mentioned, many of you have already opened up your home to me and opened up your home to Rachel and I. And so as we talk about this tonight, I don't want to spend too much time focusing on what it means to be hospitable. I think we have a pretty good understanding of what that means already. But when we look at this, and as we look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 13, you'll notice right away that there are a few different ways in which this phrase and these two words in the English translation can be translated. If you've got the King James Version or the New King James Version, your Bible probably says, given to hospitality. As I've already read in the New American Standard Bible, if you've got that, your translation probably says, practicing hospitality. And as you look at the original Greek, and I am by no means a Greek scholar, and I don't want you to think that I am, but when you look at the actual Greek word for hospitality, and you look at the Greek word for friend, and you look at the Greek word for stranger, that's the Greek word for hospitality. It literally means to be a friend to strangers, or to seek to have a love of strangers, or even treating a stranger as a friend. So that's what we're talking about tonight when we're talking about hospitality. We're talking about a person, you and hopefully me, treating a stranger as you would a friend. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about being hospitable. Now, I told you that I've been here a month, I've been here 2 months, I don't know how long now, but we already feel like we're amongst friends. We feel like we are home. But at one point in time, we were strangers. So many of you, I think, were being hospitable. You were treating a stranger as you would a friend. Think about the first century practice of being hospitable. You know, when we think about being hospitable now and treating a stranger as a friend now, that probably looks a little bit different than it did in the first century. When you think in the first century, you couldn't just pull up your phone and pull up Google and search for a Holiday Inn or a Hampton Inn or a place to stay if you were traveling. In the first century, you were likely dependent upon people to be hospitable, for people to treat a stranger as a friend. And I think when you look at this even closer, when you look at the English Standard Version translation of this phrase, the English Standard Version translates this as seeking to show hospitality. So not only are you treating a stranger as a friend, but you're running after those opportunities, you're chasing after those opportunities, and you're seeking any opportunity that you can to try to treat a stranger as a friend. So we read this in Romans chapter 12 and verse 13, practicing hospitality. Now, can you think of any other examples in Scripture where hospitality was shown, or maybe even another instance in Scripture where hospitality was instructed, where we were told to be hospitable? Anything come to mind? Absolutely. I didn't even think of that one, but that's a great one. When Lydia took care of Paul after she became a Christian. Somebody say something back here? The Good Samaritan. Absolutely. That's an incredible example, I think, of treating a stranger as a friend, especially a stranger who was in need. Washing feet. Absolutely. Simple acts like that. It's not necessarily just inviting someone to your home. But little acts like that, absolutely. Anything else?
Abraham and Sarah.
That was one that I had thought of. Remember, Abraham and Sarah hosted those men who turned out to be what? Angels, right? And you remember in Hebrews chapter 13, I believe referencing Abraham, we're told again there in that verse, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this time some have entertained angels without knowing it. Because that's what happened with Abraham and with Sarah. As we know, those men turned out to be angels who went to Sodom and Gomorrah and brought judgment to those cities there. Anything else? It probably surprised you how many times hospitality is mentioned in Scripture. Think about elders for a minute. We have, what, 9 elders here? I think I've gotten to know all the elders now. We have 9 elders here. And as we're appointing men to be elders, and we look to the letters written to Timothy and to Titus, we see some qualifications mentioned there. One of those qualifications is given to hospitality, treating a stranger as a friend. Even in 1 Timothy chapter 5, I believe it's in verse 10, we read that that's a qualification for someone who Paul would consider to be a true widow, someone who is a widow and needs help and support from the church. They must also be given to hospitality. Think about Israel. Way back, you know, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, hospitality, maybe the word isn't exactly mentioned, but how many times does God tell the nation of Israel, you were strangers in Egypt, you were aliens in Egypt, and when you see a stranger and an alien, you're to care for them because you were also strangers and aliens in Egypt. So hospitality is mentioned all throughout Scripture. And one example, one instance, I think, where hospitality is mentioned quite regularly and we just miss it and we don't think about it is when it comes to Jesus. When you think about Jesus and his ministry, Jesus couldn't just whip out his smartphone, pull up Google, and say, Google, find me a Holiday Inn or a Hampton Inn to stay at. Jesus, I think, really depended upon the hospitality of strangers. For people to treat Jesus as a stranger, who was a stranger, as a friend. In fact, I looked at this and just kind of skimmed the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to see some examples where Jesus was actually relying on the hospitality of others. And think about some of these examples with me. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 14, we read that Jesus is in the home of Simon Peter. It's there that he heals his mother-in-law. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 10, and then in the parallel account in Luke chapter 5 and verse 29, we read Jesus attends a banquet in the home of Matthew, the former tax collector. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38, we read that Jesus is in the home of Mary and Martha, and that's not the only time he's found in the home of Mary and Martha. Think about Luke chapter 19. We love to tell that story of Zacchaeus, who climbs up in the sycamore tree to get a good view of Jesus. And you remember what Jesus actually says to Zacchaeus as he sees him up in this tree? He says, come down, I'm going to your house this day. Think even further into Luke chapter 22 and verse 10. We all know the story and we all know the account of Jesus sharing that Last Supper with his disciples and with his apostles. But do you remember where they shared that meal? Remember, Jesus told his disciples who to look for because they were going to go find this disciple who I believe was carrying a pitcher of water, a pot of water, and they were going to go to his house, to his upper room, to share this Last Supper together. And even after Jesus was crucified and was resurrected in Luke chapter 24 on the road to Emmaus, you remember there he meets some disciples, and as he's walking with these disciples and reasoning with these disciples, they encourage Jesus to stay with them in their home to eat. So many times, Christ was dependent upon the hospitality of others. He wasn't just pulling up his smartphone and looking for a Holiday Inn. He really needed the disciples to be hospitable toward him. Now let me ask you this, and maybe this is just me, but when we're hospitable to others, who do we tend to be hospitable toward? Our friends, right? Family members. In fact, we have no problem if we're out of town where we have friends and family members, say, hey, is it all right if I stay with you? And that's a lot of times what we'll do. And when we offer our homes to other people, and when we offer to be hospitable to others, it's toward people who are our friends and toward people who are our family members. But think with me for a moment, the parable that Jesus tells in Matthew chapter 25. And just think with me as we just kind of talk about this parable for a minute. Remember, Jesus says that the coming of the Son of Man is going to be like this. At the end of time, Jesus is going to separate the sheep from the goats. The sheep are going to go on his right hand. The goats are going to go on his left hand. And do you remember as he's telling this parable, as he's separating the sheep from the goats, he's going to say to those on the right, what? What was that? No, that's to the goats. But what's he say to the sheep?
I was hungry and you fed me.
There we go.
I was in prison and you visited me.
Basically being hospitable, right? And then the disciples ask, well, when would we do this to you? The sheep would ask, when were we doing all of these things to you? And what was Jesus' response? Absolutely. When you do it to the least of these, you do it unto me. And so Jesus is essentially saying, when you're hospitable toward these strangers, when you treat a stranger as a friend, even if it's the least of these, as Jesus says, you're really doing it unto me. To me, that's kind of a wake-up call for me. Because like I said, a lot of times when we want to be hospitable, when we want to treat a stranger as a friend, we don't really want to treat a stranger as a friend, we want to treat a friend as a friend. But remember what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 25, when you do it to the least of these, you do it unto me. When we're really housing the stranger, and when we're really treating the stranger as a friend, we're actually housing the Savior, according to what Jesus says there in Matthew chapter 25. But you know, when we consider all these things about being hospitable, and we consider all the examples that there are in Scripture, and there are plenty of examples in Scripture that we could turn to of someone who's hospitable, of someone who has treated a stranger as a friend, I think we can really even dig deeper than this. Because maybe I'm the only one here, but do you ever find it difficult maybe to be really intentional and to really be motivated to actually seek out these opportunities to treat a stranger as a friend? Maybe that's just me, but sometimes I feel like it's hard to be motivated to go above and beyond to do this. Funny thing, as I was preparing for this lesson at home, in our office at home, Rachel came in and asked what I was doing, and I told her, I said, I'm getting ready for this lesson for the summer series at Estes, and told her my topic was practicing hospitality. She said, oh, well, you should bring in a pineapple so everybody can have some pineapple. I thought, what in the world? Why on earth would I want to bring in a pineapple for everybody? She said, well, that's the international symbol of hospitality. I didn't know that, and I still really didn't believe her. So I Googled it and learned a little bit about it. Apparently, Christopher Columbus, when he made all those voyages and even down into Central America, he brought back some pineapple to Europe. And so apparently at that point, everybody was going crazy for pineapple because you can't get pineapple in Europe. So everybody wanted to get their hands on some pineapple. And apparently it was a really big deal if you would go in people's homes and they would actually have pineapple prepared for you. That was a symbol that they had gone above and beyond to make sure that you were entertained, to make sure that you felt welcome, and to make sure that you felt like you were among friends. They went all the way to get you some pineapple. Sorry, I didn't bring you pineapple. But I hope that sticks there. Do we have that kind of motivation? Do we have that kind of desire to treat a stranger as a friend, to make someone feel that welcome? I think that's something to really think about. But where can we find this motivation? That's what I want to talk about for the remainder of this lesson. Where do we find that motivation? Where do we get that desire to really be intentional and looking for opportunities to treat a stranger as a friend? Any ideas? Absolutely. And you know, I think that goes especially to who we seek to be hospitable toward. You know, are we really opening up our homes and really trying to treat a stranger as a friend so that we could bring them to Christ? I think that's an excellent first start. Absolutely. Kind of gives me goosebumps when I think about that. I don't know about you. To much has been given, much is required. And, you know, in this country, we've been given a lot. And what are we doing with it? You know, I think we all really, when we think about it, could maybe be doing a little bit more. I think that's probably honest. That's probably humble of all of us to say. But I think that's certainly a good test, a good way for us to be motivated. Any other thoughts? Yeah, Frank.
Don't you think hospitality it's not limited to just opening up your home?
Mm-hmm.
There are so many other aspects that you can show love and kindness. Like sharing the gospel with somebody.
Oh, absolutely.
Buying somebody a meal. There's a lot of different ways you can do it.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
We're a fearful people.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people that I would not want in my home, even though their soul is as important as mine.
Yep. And I think that's what makes it so difficult, because it's easy to treat a friend as a friend, right? You run into your friend at McDonald's, it's easy to buy them a meal. But what if you run into a stranger? It's maybe causing a lot of ruckus and a lot of trouble in the restaurant. You going to buy that person a meal? I think there's an example of treating a stranger as a friend. Absolutely. I think fear cripples us. So how do we get rid of that fear? How do we get to the point where we say, I'm going to look for these opportunities from the moment I leave my house to the moment I come home, and then I'm going to do it again the next day? How do we get that motivation? I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer. I'm just seeing what's on your mind. Yeah. And you know, maybe it's as simple as that. Maybe it's just, you know what, I'm going to really set this in my mind. I'm going to really make it a point when I leave my house today to treat a stranger as a friend, to really be hospitable, to really try to find maybe someone in need who I can reach out to. Absolutely. Well, I got to really thinking about this, you know, how can we really stay motivated? How do we get to the point where we're on fire to do this? And, you know, as I thought about treating a stranger as a friend, I really got to think about this on a much deeper level. And so kind of follow me here as we think about this. But as Christians, we're called to be transformed. And we know that. That's our theme for the year. And I got to thinking, as we look at each and every one of these marks of a Christian and the marks of someone who is actually living a transformed life in Romans chapter 12, you see that Jesus really is the standard of each and every single one of these marks that we've looked at. Look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 9 and tell me someone who loves without hypocrisy better than Jesus does in Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Or someone who abhors what is evil and clings to what is good more than Jesus does. And on down the list you could go, Jesus is the standard for all of this. I mean, that's kind of the level that we should be seeking to be transformed into. Okay, now what about hospitality? And I know that hospitality is more than just opening up your home to somebody. But when we think about Jesus and we think about how we can be like Jesus when it comes to being hospitable, think about what Jesus has done for us on a much deeper level. Think about really what we expect from God. And as we, you know, when we think about where we stand with God, we know that we once stood as strangers and we once stood as aliens apart from God. But yet at the same time, even though we once stood as strangers and although we once stood as aliens, don't we still expect God to treat us as a friend? And don't we expect God to treat us as a friend, not because we've done anything special, but because of the blood of Christ? Have you ever thought about the gospel in the sense that Jesus wanted us to be a part of his Father's household so badly? He wanted to be hospitable, in a sense, to us so badly that he was willing to die so that we could actually take his place. He wanted to treat us as strangers, as a friend, so badly that he went to the cross for my sins and for your sins. It's kind of a deeper, different way to think about this. But, you know, this is exactly what happened. Because Jesus went to the cross, because his blood was shed for you and me, God will treat us as strangers, as friends, and as members of his household. Look at some verses with me to really kind of explain what I'm trying to say here. First, look at Ephesians chapter 2 with me. In Ephesians chapter 2, we know just at the beginning of that chapter, we read really what our condition is without Christ. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. Paul writes to the Ephesians, and which could be true to us, apart from Christ. But look down at verse 12. As Paul is specifically writing to the Gentiles in this portion of Scripture, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, Paul's kind of giving the Gentiles a reminder that, hey, you guys were strangers. You guys were aliens. That's exactly what he says in verse 12. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. When we think about our spiritual state and where we stand with God, we were once strangers, the Gentiles. They once had no clue, really, in a way of knowing the promises that God offered to Israel. And you know, also, we once stood as strangers, apart from God, having no hope in the world. But we've been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now look at verse 19 with me. Verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Don't we expect to be a part of God's household, the church? Don't we expect, even though we were strangers, don't we expect to be brought near because of the blood of Christ and to be a part of God's household? And even more so, we know in John chapter 14, in verses 1 through 4, Jesus tells his disciples, "Where I'm going, you cannot go. I'm going to prepare a place for you. My Father's house, there are many mansions or many dwelling places." And I don't know about you, but when my life is over, I expect to have one of these dwelling places because of the blood of Christ. So my point is this: if we expect God to treat us as friends, even though we are strangers, shouldn't we, while we're on this earth, also be expected to treat strangers around us as friends? Isn't that how we can be like God? If we expect God to actually treat strangers as friends, shouldn't we be expected to do the same thing today? To me, that's what it's all about. When we want to live a transformed life, a life that's different from the world, we want to live a life where we look like Jesus. And Jesus, we know, he brought us all near to God. Do we want to be the same way? To me, that's what I'm thinking it's all about. When we talk about being hospitable, I think it's so easy to just limit that to inviting people into our homes, inviting them over for a meal, and that's great, and I think we should be doing those things. I think those things are to be expected. But Frank kind of touched on it. We can treat a stranger as a friend everywhere we go, can't we? We can go to the store, we can go to the restaurant, go about our daily business and look for these opportunities, to chase after these opportunities, to pursue these opportunities where we're actually treating a stranger as a friend. And if we do that, are we not also being like Jesus? Are we not also being like God, who has invited us as strangers into his household? I just got to thinking about that. Got to thinking about it on a little deeper level. Any other ways you think we can be motivated and truly be on fire to be hospitable? Anything, any light bulbs come on in your head? Mm-hmm. Right. And you know, that might be where it starts. If you didn't hear that, Frank was talking about empathy, really being empathetic toward others around us. Try to put ourselves in their shoes. Think of a time when, you know, I told you at the beginning of this lesson, I really have depended on a lot of you to be hospitable toward me in the last several months. Maybe that's what we need to do. Maybe that's a good place to start. Think about a time when we truly depended on others to treat us, even though we were strangers, as friends. Anything else going off in your head? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It definitely goes both ways, doesn't it? And I think a lot of times we forget that. It's easy to get all the benefits of friendship and hospitality and not return those to others around us who are in need. Absolutely. You know, in thinking about this and in thinking about how badly Christ wanted us to be a part of his Father's household, you know, maybe you're sitting here thinking, you know, Christ really wants me to be a part of his Father's household, but I really haven't done much to be a part of it myself. And you know, we're never going to deserve what Christ did for us. We're never going to be able to actually deserve salvation, to earn our way into God's household. But you know, if we admit that we need some help, we need the blood of Christ, and we're willing to come in contact with that blood through baptism, we can join the Father's household. We can live a life faithful to him, a transformed life. And then when our life is over, have that dwelling place, have that mansion, if you will, in the Father's household. And so if you haven't done that, tonight you can do that. And you know, maybe since joining the Father's household, you've kind of gone off and you haven't lived that transformed life. You haven't maybe set it in your mind to say, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to live like God. I'm going to go and live like Jesus and live a transformed life. Maybe you've lived like the prodigal. We know that parable and that story of the prodigal son. We know he goes off and wastes his father's inheritance, but then he comes home. And as he comes home, he realizes, you know, I'm going to go to my father and say, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And he's expecting to have to beg for a place in his father's household. But then, surprise, surprise, as he returns home, the father is running toward him, falls on his neck, kisses him, wants him desperately to return home. Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe you need to return home. You have a father who is desperately waiting for you and wants you to be a part of his household once again. If tonight you need to join that household or you need to return home, why not come forward, have a seat on one of these front pews while we stand and sing the song of encouragement?